As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Yeah, Virginia. Wow. Hello, my friends. Fellow patriots, welcome to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's great to be here today with you guys on the show. Saturday, windy, stormy, rainy out there. It's Oregon fall, my friends, and man, oh man, I got some hunting stories to tell you. Some of you guys, I know, follow my Facebook page, and so I always talk about hunting. You know that I live for hunting season a little bit, and I really enjoy just being out there and soaking in all of God's country, all of his glory, and just, it's kind of where I find myself. And the last couple of years, I've had an excellent time getting to experience that with my son. He's old enough now to take him out there. And let me tell you, I've been telling you some of his hunting stories this last couple of weeks, this deer season. And we got it done for him. I should say he got it done on Monday night. In fact, if you follow my Patriot Uprising radio show Facebook page, I posted a couple pictures in the video there just so you guys could see that when I tell you these stories, I'm not full of crap. And I'm just so excited and happy for him. And if you go look at his picture, I got to tell you that smile on his face says it all. That says everything that you need to know about what kind of experience he just had. But he made a 350-yard shot, my friends, and just got a beautiful buck. In fact, he's probably a little bit ruined now because it's a really nice animal for being his first deer. I told him that doesn't happen every year. Those bucks aren't everywhere. They're few and far between. And, be grateful you got that one because that's not a give me. That's not a guarantee. But he did work for it. And it was just a wonderful evening out there with him, and I think he learned a lot. He showed great patience and took the time to just gently squeeze that trigger straight back, and he aimed small, missed small, right? It was a long shot for him, and he got the job done. So congratulations, Noah. I'm glad you were able to do that, and you did an awesome job, my friend. And looking forward to many more years of enjoying the great outdoors with you together and making more memories like this. So as a dad, I was stoked. I hope you guys get to take your kids out and enjoy things like that. It doesn't have to be hunting, but you guys know what I'm talking about. It's just so fun to make those memories that are priceless. And, you know, at that age, Noah's 14, and I think I've told you guys a lot about my daughter, Anna. She graduated, and she's at George Fox University now. Time flies, though. You know, it feels like yesterday she was, you know, just a toddler, and it feels like Noah was just a baby yesterday, and time just flies, and you got to make the most of the time you have, because in a blink of an eye, that time is gone. So it's not always easy. As parents, we know that it's a daily struggle, and especially when you get kids that are getting into the teen years and starting to figure out who they are and their hormones are kicking in, they can be a royal pain in the ass sometimes. Noah and I are at each other quite often, if I'm being honest. So, but it's important to have those good times and make those good memories also. And it makes the bad times more durable, right? So anyways, my friends, so much happened this week. It has been a good, good week for democracy. In fact, I've got a little bit, a renewed sense of fire lit up in my belly right now.
a little bit of a new hope for the state of Oregon. And I know that everything we know about Oregon and just where we've been this last 10 years and how we see our future, we always look so negative at it, and it just seems so bleak, and it seems like it's a battle we can't win, and the state's a loss, right? But you know what, my friends? It's going to be a battle, and it's going to be an uphill battle. And we might not win. We might not win, but my God, we have to try. We have to try. We have to get out in numbers, my friends. We have to help educate each other. We have to go after those independents. We have to go after those moderate Democrats. I just, you know, a week ago, I was telling you the Democrats, no way, shape, or form are going to vote for anybody but another Democrat. And I'm just convinced that that's how it was going to be, that Oregon was a lost cause altogether. Why even try? I hate the sound of saying that. I'm an optimist, usually. I'm not a defeatist. I got to tell you, though, my spirits were low. They've been low in this state the last couple years. And I just feel like we've been beat up, and I was starting to get a negative attitude. And I'm a realist. I still know that we've got a fight on our hands. I know that it's going to be a struggle. I know that we're not going to get everything we want. But my friends, this is why I'm a little bit fired up, because that's how they felt in Virginia, right? Virginia was a blue state longer than Oregon's been a blue state. Virginia has way more entrenched Democrats than Oregon has. Virginia, in nobody's mind, would ever, ever flip to red. In nobody's mind. It was an impossibility. And look at what happened. Not only did Youngkin win the governorship, but they also picked up several other House seats at the state level. They completely annihilated the Democrats, completely annihilated the Democrats. The people turned out to vote. And I got to tell you, my friends, it wasn't just the Republicans that made that possible. It wasn't just the conservatives, the diehard conservatives that made that possible. For what happened in Virginia to happen, what took place there was a message, a brilliant campaign, and people, Americans, Republicans, independents, and Democrats that are fed up with the way things are being ran, that are realizing that you can't just stay party line, that are realizing that there's good and bad on both sides. And ultimately, we need to do what's best for the country, what's best for our families, what's best for our own pocketbooks. Now, Virginia was one of the highest tax states and one of the most entrenched Democratic states ever. And they just got destroyed. The Republicans kicked butt. But like I said, the Republicans did not do it alone. They could not have done it alone. They did it with the help of independents, and they even did it with the help of Democrats. And I know the Democrats won't admit that. I know the party for sure. They're saying, no way. This is crazy. No. The only way this happened is the fact that Democrats had to cross the line. They had to vote for this Republican. And Youngkin, my friends, he is going to be a fantastic governor. He's going to be another great one to watch. He's an up-and-coming star, I think, and I think he'll go far in politics. I think he'll do wonderful things for Virginia. And on day one, he did already do some amazing things, just keeping up with his campaign promise. But you know what's more important to me than just Youngkin is the fact that it was multiple Republicans that won. They have an attorney general, a Hispanic man that is extremely conservative, and he won. But the biggest win for the country that came out of Virginia, my friends, is the lieutenant governor elect, Winsome Sears. Now, Winsome Sears, a black woman, a black immigrant who served as a United States Marine. This woman is the American dream. This woman is who you hear about, the stories of American exceptionalism and the opportunities that this country can give to anybody, any walk of life. If you come here, if you want to work hard, you can thrive. You can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. You can have all the riches in the world. You can make yourself. You can make your own way. Nothing can hold you back in this country if you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to put in the time, and if you have the right attitude. And one of the things amazing about Virginia and this governor race is Youngkin and Winsome Sears. Let me tell you, who do you think they put first? First and foremost, how do you think they ran their campaign? In their speeches, when they came out at the end of the night after the election was over, the first thing they did is they gave thanks to God. They gave thanks to God and they gave thanks to the people. That's who they serve. They serve God first and they serve their constituents, the people that put them in office, the people that they represent. It's about the people first. And that's why they won. Their heart is in the right place. They want to be there to do the right thing. They're not there for any political agenda or self-serving motives. They're there for the people. They're there because the system was broken. There was corruption and people were hurting. People's lives were hurting. Their livelihoods were hurting. Their businesses were closing. They were being taxed to death. Their education is, you know, being inundated with things like this critical race theory, which Youngkin and Winsome both said, no more on day one. That is dead. On day one, we will give the power back to the parents. They make the decision on the education. They decide what's best for their children. No more critical race theory. It was just amazing to watch the whole campaign, the way it unfolded. It was amazing to watch the Democrats fall apart. And it's been a lot of fun this last few days watching them scramble, watching them try to make sense of what just happened. And now they're starting to play the blame game. And so going back to what I originally said on why I'm feeling a little fresh and I got this new lit fire in my belly and why I'm a little more hopeful for the state of Oregon, because I think if they can do that in Virginia, my friends, I think anything is possible. Anything is possible with the right people here in Oregon. And I think there's enough independents and enough moderate Democrats that are feeling the pain, that are seeing the corruption in this state, that know that the legislators, the Democrat-controlled majority, are destroying the state, that the Democrat governor has destroyed this state, and they're hurting, and their families are hurting, and their businesses are hurting, and they are tired of it. They're tired of going to the gas station and paying as much as they do for fuel. They're tired of the leadership we have, and there's nobody else to blame. My friends, there is nobody else to blame but the Democrat Party. And so I think with the right candidate, it's possible. Oregon could do something miraculous like Virginia did. Now, I keep going back to saying the right candidate because the truth of the matter is, and I've said this several times, I believe why Oregon got in the boat that we got into, why we screwed up so bad is because we've been brainwashed to think that if we want to have an opportunity in Oregon, if we want to have a chance to get somebody that will be okay for the Republican Party, that we need to pick a candidate that the Democrats are going to like also, that we need to pick a candidate that is moderate enough for them that they might be able to get on board. But my friends, that is not the case. That's not what they did in Virginia. That's not who Youngkin was. For a state as blue as Virginia, Youngkin was as far to the right as you could absolutely go. And he held true to his convictions. He held true to his values. He held true to the Constitution of the United States. He was everything that the Democrats despise. And he was exactly the person who got himself elected in a Democrat state. And that's why we don't win elections in Oregon, because we keep picking moderate candidates that are Democrat light, that are socialist light. By God, if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, find the most conservative Republican candidate that you can find and get him elected. Get her elected. Because that's how you fire up the base. That's how you get people to turn out for elections. That's how you get people excited. A guy like me does not get excited about a moderate candidate. I don't want anything that's mundane like that. I want somebody that puts fire in my belly, that's going to fight for my values and fight for your values, that loves this country, that's going to uphold the Constitution. And if you want to get a candidate like that elected, we got to find the right candidates. And right now, here in Oregon, I'm not sure we have any. Stick with me, my friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's great to be here today with you on Saturday, this blustery, wet, rainy, nasty Saturday afternoon. Welcome to Oregon, my friends. We were just talking about Virginia, and we were talking about the election and how amazing it is that it turned out the way that it did. And it's just one of those things that goes to show you that if the right people turn out to vote, and if you have a candidate that inspires people to get out there, that the impossible is possible. And so I was comparing that to Oregon, and I was saying how, you know, in Oregon the last couple of years, I kind of felt helpless. I lost hope in the state. I had kind of a defeatist attitude, and it definitely is an uphill battle in this state. But I believe with all my heart that if they could do what they did in Virginia with the right candidate, I think we could absolutely do something similar here in Oregon. But we got to stick together and find that right candidate, the candidate that is going to put the fire in the bellies of the far right, of the independents, and even the moderate Democrats. Now, there's been a lot of talk about various candidates, and so far none of them really have done that for me. But one of the newest people that has said that she's jumping in the race has been getting a lot of talk from both sides, and that's Betsy Johnson. Now, she's a Democrat. She recently changed to the Independent Party, but she's announced that she's going to run for governor. And I got to tell you, I've been shocked by how many Republicans are saying, yeah, somebody we can get behind. How many Republican legislators have supported her in this venture. And I got to tell you, if you look at her voting record, I don't care. She could be the nicest woman across the street. She could be like everybody's great granny. But you've got to look at her voting record, my friend. And she has been a senator for many, many years here in the state of Oregon. And she is not conservative. She does not protect conservative values. She does everything she can to defeat conservatism. And she would be disastrous for this state. The fact that there's Republicans saying that they can get behind her because she's a nice lady baffles me. It absolutely blows my mind. Let me tell you, Betsy Johnson took thousands from corrupt Big Pharma vax manufacturer Pfizer. Sat on the board of Planned Parenthood. The board of Planned Parenthood. That is the one issue right there, my friends. The one issue right there that if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, if you are a Christian, you should say no. That should be your red flag. And beyond that issue, nothing else really should matter. If you're willing to kill babies, if you're willing to kill innocent life, if you don't value life like that, if you go against the teachings of God, why would I support you anything else? If you make that bad of a decision on anything else, how can I trust you? She sat on the board of Planned Parenthood. She voted for taxpayer-funded late-term abortions for everyone, including illegal immigrants. And she has a track record of putting her partisan donors' interest before the hardworking Oregonians. Now, she claims she's an independent. She is not an independent, my friends. She is a Democrat. She is a hardcore Democrat. And look at her voting record. That is exactly how she's behaved her entire political career. She's dependent on her corrupt donors. And she should not be Oregon's next governor. That is the absolute truth, my friends. She should not be Oregon's next governor. But there's so many people that seem to be supporting her for whatever reason. And I just can't figure it out. In fact, Polk County, those of you out in Polk County that listen to me, thank you guys. I appreciate the fact that you tune in. A lot of you know me personally. I'm telling you, you need new commissioners out there big time. Craig Pope, he just filed. He's running for re-election again. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Craig Pope is planning on retiring. He's planning on retiring halfway through his term, and that way they can keep their good old boy system and they can appoint who they want to be the next commissioner of Polk County, because they know that appointment means The new person appointed would run as an incumbent, and an incumbent stands a 90% chance of winning. That's just the way it works. This is what the commissioners do in Polk County. It's corrupt, and they are essentially stealing your vote. They are taking away your choice. Craig Pope will be retiring, but he is running again this final term, and I predict he will retire early so they can make this appointment and keep that good old boy system in place. But what's even worse, my friends, Craig Pope is supporting Senator Johnson. In fact, in his Facebook page, Craig says, "Now we have a race. Now we have a race. Senator Johnson is a friend of mine and will definitely be a force to reckon with. I like the nonpartisan, independent position she is taking and believe she is a candidate that will change the paradigm of partisan politics in Oregon once and for all. Watch Betsy's campaign and get to know her." Excuse me, nonpartisan? Change the paradigm of partisan politics? Look at her voting record. Craig, what the hell is wrong with you? And my friends, any of you guys that supported Craig Pope before, any of you guys that are going to vote in the next election for Polk County Commissioner, you got to remember that this guy is backing somebody that sits on the board of Planned Parenthood, that voted for taxpayers to fund abortions, even for illegal immigrants, that voted for a senator that wants to raise taxes, that has successfully raised taxes on Oregon businesses. This lady is not an independent. She is not nonpartisan. Everything about her screams Democrat, screams progressive. And her policies and what she supports, my friends, are socialist. Socialist, that's it. And yet you have the Polk County Commissioner, Craig Pope, giving her a glowing endorsement like that. You guys need to pay attention to who you're voting for in Polk County. And Craig Pope is not a conservative, and he's not good for our county. And you ask what's happened good in our county in the last 10 years, and he's been the man in charge. What has he done for you with COVID? How has he protected you? Has he been a voice for the people? No. No, he has not. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's great to be here today. I was just talking to you a little bit about Polk County Commissioners. I was talking to you about the Oregon governor race. Senator Betsy Johnson is decided to get into that race, and she's been celebrated by a lot of Republicans and independents. And she's been talked about like she's a moderate, that she's nonpartisan. And I've just been cautioning you to look at her voting record. Look at the things that she's been involved in, the things she's supported, the things she has personally done herself, i.e. Planned Parenthood Board. She is no conservative. She is no moderate. She is no independent, my friend. She is extreme left. And her policies and her voting record speak for themselves. Yet you have Commissioner in Polk County, Craig Pope, that is in love with her and just thinks she's going to be the best thing there is. I'm sorry, my friends. That should tell you everything you need to know about him. Remember, he is a candidate running again. This will be like his fourth term. He's running again. He's going to seek your vote. I got to tell you, this whole entire 2 years, this COVID debacle, I have no clue what our Polk County commissioners have done for us. I have no clue what our Polk County commissioners, at least I look at the neighboring counties and I hear what they're doing. I see what they're doing. They're trying. They don't win every battle, but they fight. They fight for the people. They fight for the businesses. Yet Polk County commissioners have sat there silent and done nothing. They're letting the governor dictate anything she wants to dictate. They're following every single mandate that comes down from OSHA, come down from the Oregon Health Authority, and they're just forcing it onto the people here in Polk County. They're not doing anything. They need to go, my friends. They're not working for you. They do not look at you as their constituents. They look at you as thorns on their side. They serve the governor. That's what's happening in Polk County. I can go on and on about other things like this, but my friends, you need to pay attention. Craig Pope, pay attention. Don't check that box on the ballot. Do not check that box on the ballot. Now, getting back to the exciting news of Virginia and the wins that we have had. We've had a lot of wins. I mean, not just Virginia, the New Jersey race, the fact that that governor race was so close. That's amazing. It's unfortunate that the Republican didn't win. I thought he did a brilliant campaign. I think he's an awesome man. It's unfortunate that he didn't win, but he almost did. He almost did. He got further than anybody ever imagined he would get. I mean, that sends a resounding message. The message, what's the message? Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. That is the message, my friend. And the country is getting it. And guess what? The Democrats are hearing it. They don't like it. They're going to make excuses. They don't like it one bit. They're never going to admit that that's what it is, because I'd be admitting that they were wrong, right? The White House is hearing that message. They are embarrassed. Joe Biden thinks his name's Brandon. He's like, I guess I got a new name. My name's Brandon. Woohoo! Anyway, Jill's like, stop it, you guys. Stop it. You're confusing the man. When he's off his meds, he's wacko. That's the truth, my friends. I got to hey, something else about Biden. Seriously. When was the last time you actually saw him at the White House? I mean, we saw him a few times in his fort that they built for him, right? But when was the last time you saw him in the Oval Office? When was the last time you saw him sitting behind that Resolute desk in front of those big windows with the American flags? When was the last time you saw him look presidential, do something presidential? I got to tell you, there's something really weird. Think about that. In 10 months, how many times have you saw him in the White House? How many times have you saw him working in the Oval Office? Remember when President Trump was there? All the time. All the time. He addressed the country from there. He held meetings in there. He is constantly inviting people into there. You saw pictures of him just doing his daily work, sitting behind the Resolute desk all the time. And not just him. That wasn't unique to Donald Trump. Every president has used that office. Every president has sat behind that desk and they've done the country's business. That's a symbol of our country. That's a symbol of power in this country. That's important. People might say it's just a room, it's just a desk. No, it's not. It's symbolic, my friends. It's symbolic, and that's why every president has used it. That's why some of the most important messages that we have ever received as a nation from our commander-in-chief have come from that room, have come from behind that desk. That's how come some of the most important meetings, some of the most important deals, some of the most important peace agreements have come from behind that desk. It's symbolic, my friends. It means a lot. But where is Joe? When was the last time in the last 10 months have you seen Joe in there, in that room, doing business, sitting behind that desk? Something is really off about this presidency, my friends. I think he's gone. I think he's lost it. You can tell if he's not medicated or if he's on the wrong medication. I don't know. But there's times that he's lucid and there's times that he's not. There's times that he can speak and there's times that he's slurring his speech and he has no idea what he just said. The guy is not mentally fit to lead this country. His handlers know it. His wife knows it. The Secret Service knows it. The cabinet knows it. Everybody knows it. When are we going to do something about it? Or is this exactly what they want? Is this exactly what they want? And don't think Kamala's fit to be president. We know she's not fit. Only thing she can do is laugh. She can't answer a question. She's the border czar. She's in charge of what's happening in the borders. What's happening at the borders? Well, I'll tell you right now, my friends. They want to give illegal immigrants that came across the border during Trump's administration $450,000 a person. $450,000 a person. Can you imagine? What kind of signal does that send to all the people that want to come to this country? What kind of signal does that send to everybody down in Mexico and Guatemala and South America that want to be in this country? If I can get there, if I can just get across the border, if I can swim across the Rio, I can get the money. I can cash in $450,000. My family's big enough, we can be millionaires. What do you think that's going to do? Where are we getting that money? This country doesn't have that money, my friends. They've got us broke. They've got us broke. Yet they think they're going to cut a check for $450,000 to people because they broke the law. They broke the law and came into this country illegally. They don't treat our veterans that good. They don't treat the families who lost people in our wars. Our veterans that paid the ultimate price, that didn't come home. Their families don't get $450,000. Why on earth would this policy even be entertained? Why would it be talked about? The guy that brought it up, the guy that was the mastermind behind this, should be fired immediately. That person has no business having a job in government whatsoever. Whoever thought that was a good idea is a complete fool, my friends. $450,000 if you came to this country illegally, broke our laws. Who knows how many other laws you broke once you got here, but we're cutting you a check for $450,000. And to hell with the people, the American citizens that fought and died for this country, for our freedom, for our laws. Their families don't get that kind of money. No, this is unreal, and it's unraveling in front of our face. I love immigrants. Immigrants, you know, we are a melting pot in this country, and some of the best things about this country are because of our immigrants. The immigrants that came here that wanted to be part of this country, that wanted to assimilate and make this country better because of what they had to offer. The immigrants that came here that wanted to better themselves because of what our country had to offer them. See, it's a two-way street. It's like that famous speech that John F. Kennedy said, ask not what our country can do for you, but ask what you can do for our country. And that's exactly the type of immigrants we're looking for. That's who we need. We can be better with immigrants that come over here with that mindset, and we should welcome these people with open arms. We should embrace them. We should help them come legally. Legally is the key. Not illegal immigration, but legal immigration. And that's why Winsome Sears, the lieutenant governor in Virginia, is so amazing, because she is exactly the kind of immigrant that this nation wants, that this nation needs. She is the type of immigrant that all other immigrants should aspire to be, to achieve the things that she has achieved. America should embrace her. She is the change that we need. I'm so proud that she got elected. She legally immigrated here to the United States from Kingston, Jamaica, when she was 6 years old. She's the first black woman elected to a statewide office in Virginia. Think about that. In this day and age, and she's just the first black woman elected to a statewide office in Virginia. Now, remember, Virginia's been a blue state. Virginia, you know, the Democrats have ran that state. What do Democrats say? Republicans are racist, conservatives are racist, that they're the party for black people. They have ran that state for decades, Virginia. It has been deep, deep blue for decades. Why have not they put a black woman until now in office? If they're the party that embraces the minorities, how come they haven't put a black woman in office before this election? And it was the conservatives that did that. She's the first black woman elected to statewide office in Virginia. Before being elected Virginia's lieutenant governor, she served in the U.S. Marine Corps. She has a master's degree. She ran a woman's homeless shelter. She has 3 kids. Gosh, what a patriot. That is the American dream, my friends. That is the type of immigration we need to embrace. She's an inspiration. She's not just an inspiration to immigrants. She's an inspiration to Americans. And if you heard her speech on election night, it was obvious. It was obvious how much she loves this country. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here with more Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Time flies when you're having fun, and we are running out of time too fast. We had so much to talk about. It's been a good week for conservatives. It's been a good week for Christians. It's been a good week for Republicans in our country. We have dealt some amazing blows to our opposition. We have sent a red wave across this nation. We have sent the message, let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Yes, we have. And they're hearing that message loud and clear. It gave me a newfound hope for Oregon. It tells me that there's a chance, even in a blue state, there's a chance that eventually some people will get fed up enough, they'll start making the right choice. Eventually people will hurt enough, maybe they'll start voting the right way. Maybe their eyes will be opened and they'll realize the party that they have been supporting for generations is no longer their party, no longer has their best interest. Maybe they'll open their eyes and they'll see the corruption that is. Maybe they'll understand the party that really is keeping this country divided, the party that really does like to oppress minorities, that screams racism. See, one of the best things about Donald Trump's presidency, my friends, is that he's exposed all of this. Everything that's happened, everything that we know today, the possibility of what happened in Virginia, President Trump, and I say President Trump because I still believe he won this last election. More stuff's coming out, by the way, on that. You got to, you know, mainstream media, not even Fox News is really following it anymore, but more stuff is coming out on that. In fact, a sheriff just issued arrest warrants for election fraud from that election. So they're still being investigated. They're still figuring out what happened. I do believe there was enough corruption, enough cheating that took place that it did change the tides of the election. So that's why I say he is still President Trump. Now, will he ever be there in that position during this term that I believe is rightfully his? I don't think so. I don't think any of the people that need to take action on that are going to do the right thing. I don't think the Supreme Court's going to do the right thing. I've lost faith in them. But he is still my president. But the point is, everything that's happened, the Virginia race and New Jersey and other races that we've seen across the country that Republicans won that they shouldn't have won, it's all because of his doing. The corruption that we're aware of is because of his doing. President Trump opened our eyes. You maybe didn't like his tweets. You maybe didn't like all his quirky personality, his demeanor. But he was always honest with us. He opened our eyes. He exposed the truth. And he worked hard each and every day for the American people. And I think in the midterm elections, you're going to see this red wave continue. I think it's only going to grow. The Biden administration, oh my God, they are actually a gift. They're a gift because they are so inept. They are so idiotic. It is such a mess. It is such a mess that they are the downfall. The Democrats are destroying themselves from within. And the Biden administration and Biden himself, they are like the atomic bomb for the Democrat Party. They might be a gift. They really might be a gift. As bad as it is, as crappy as they are, as much as he's hurting us right now, as many things that he's done to hurt this country in the last 10, 11 months, it actually might end up being a gift because it's going to give us power in the House. It's going to give us power in the Senate, and it's going to give us the presidency back. And we'll be able to control everything. And if we can hold our representatives accountable, if we can hold the Republicans accountable and make sure that they are staying true to our conservative values and upholding the Constitution of the United States, and if they don't, they need to be gone too, my friends. This country has a prayer. This country has a chance. We can make a comeback. Now, who will be the leader of that? I hope and I pray it's going to be Donald Trump. I think rightfully so it should be if he wants it. I don't believe that the Republicans, a lot of them are happy about that. I think that the RNC is going to try to fight that. I think they're going to try to put up somebody in the primary against Trump, and they're going to try to take Trump out. I think it's up to Trump. I think it all matters how he handles himself between now and then, if he wants it or not. But I got to tell you, the last couple of interviews I've heard, and how he looks, he sounds good and he looks good. He looks like he's lost weight. Looks like he's lost about 30 pounds. He looks like he's in excellent shape and he is on point. Everything he talks about is on point. And there's not an issue that he doesn't know about. I've watched him in interviews, and it doesn't matter what type of questions they throw at him. He has the answers. He knows the numbers. He has the facts. He understands how things work. And his policies worked. Love him or hate him, his policies worked, my friends. You can't deny that any longer. And we know Joe's policies don't work. We see his policies destroying this country. That's why I think Joe might be a blessing. I actually told a friend the other day, I said, it might have been a blessing that Trump did not win this last election or did not, you know, get to stay there in the White House, because the Democrats were going to keep playing the games that they've been playing. They were going to keep trying to impeach Trump for everything that he did. They're going to keep hating on him. They're going to keep trying to trump up these lies, these fake dossiers. They were going to do everything they could to disrupt him, and they had the control. They have the majority in the House and the Senate. So there was not a lot that Trump could get through without them bucking him every step of the way. And so it might have been, you know, even though we like Trump's fighting spirit, even though we like his blatantly honest way of speaking and his ability to just tell people to stick it, we love that. But his presidency, the second term, it would have been more rocky than the first term, and he might not have been able to accomplish the things that we know he could accomplish. So if he gets elected again, and if we do what we need to do in the next election cycles, my friends, if in the midterms we take back the House and the Senate, if we regain control of that and we get the presidency after that, who's going to stop Trump? Now, like I said, there's going to be some Republicans. They don't like him. But if Trump wins again, he's got a mandate. And I think people are going to pucker up. They're going to know they better get in line or there's going to be trouble and they will not be reelected again. And if the Republicans control the House and the Senate and Trump is the president of the United States, think of the things that we can accomplish. Think of what we can get done. Think of how he, not just him, us, all of us together can make America great again. His policies open the door to opportunity. Now it's up to us. It's up to us if we take that opportunity and do something with it. We can do nothing with it. We can stick our head in the sands and try to suck the tit. We can do nothing, or we can take that opportunity and we can make something of it. That's the American way, my friends. That's American exceptionalism. That's why we're going to be great again. And I believe that is all possible. And I even believe here in Oregon, under the right circumstance, with the right candidate, we can pull a Virginia. We can do what they did in Virginia. We just have to find the right candidate that's going to put the fire in your belly and motivate everybody to get out and vote and motivate the independents to vote and going to open the eyes of the moderate Democrats that are going to say, you know what? Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why I think I'm a Democrat, but you know what? My business just cannot survive under the policies that the Democrat Party keeps pushing. I cannot afford to pay more taxes because the Democrats want me to pay more taxes. I cannot afford my fuel bill, not just my gas in my car, but my heating bill at home. All of this is bad because of the Democrats. And there's Democrats out there, I believe, they're starting to wake up, my friends. They're starting to open their eyes. And I think with the right candidate, with the right policies, strong convictions, and God's will, Oregon can pull a Virginia. Now, lastly, my friends, I want to talk real quick about vaccinations. They've just approved kids to get these vaccinations, and OSHA, OHA, the school districts, they are working right now trying to figure out how to make a mandate for kids to have the vaccination to go to school. And I am telling you, that is your choice as a parent. Do not let the school district jab your kids. If you don't want your kid to have that vaccination, by God, you need to protect them from that vaccination. And you need to send a loud message, loud and clear to the school district, loud and clear to the elected officials that you will not put up with this, that this is the line that we will not cross. And there will be hell to pay if you try to jab our kids and we're not on board with it. There is a lot of reasons to pull your kids out of public school. There is a ton of reasons, and I know not all of you can. I know not all of you have the means to do so. But my friends, this is the reason you need to fight for. This is the reason to do it. Do not let them jab your kids. God bless you guys. We'll catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio. Pray for this country. Pray for Donald Trump. Adios, amigos.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.